Pater wondered what in the world he was supposed to say in reply. Whatever Bishop Heinrich might say, Pater Wilson knew himself too well to recognize the candidate for sainthood Wagner had just described. It was horribly embarrassing, and yet he couldn't deny it was also comforting. Not because he believed he was superior to anyone else, more important in God's eyes, but because it demonstrated that the bishop and the archbishop he served recognized that he was at least trying. And even more important, that someone whose judgment he deeply respected found his efforts satisfactory. Wagner watched the young priest on the other side of his desk and knew exactly what Wilson was thinking. He couldn't have thought anything else and been who he was. And the bishop never doubted that he'd just embarrassed the intendant. But there were times when any child of God needed to be commended, needed to be given the positive reinforcement of knowing he or she was truly valued, truly important in his or her own right. And when someone had given, lost, as much as this young man had in the service of God, it was at least as important to Heinrich Wagner to tell him how much he was valued as it could ever be for Pater Wilson to hear it. Wilson began, then hesitated. He closed his mouth, then opened it again, but Wagner raised his right hand in a stop gesture and smiled gently.
Father, you're young. And I just embarrassed you horribly, didn't I?
His smile grew broader, his brown eyes twinkling, and Wilson, despite the cocoon of grief he could never quite break free of, felt himself smiling back.
Well, actually, yes, my lord.
Of course I have. But the writ tells us it's as much our responsibility to know and to acknowledge virtue as it is to recognize and condemn sin. Or, as the Archangel Bedard put it, simply learning what it's wrong for us to do isn't enough unless we're also given examples of what it's right for us to do. In that regard, you can think of this as an example of my discharging my pastoral responsibility to you in obedience to both those commands. And you might also think of it as a lesson by example for you to apply in your own ministry when it comes time for you to praise someone else.
I'll try to remember that, my lord.
I'm sure you will. However, that was only the first thing I wished to speak to you about.
Yes, my lord, Wilson said, when Wagner paused yet again.
Actually, the bishop said in the tone of the man who'd suddenly been struck by a happy inspiration, perhaps it would be simpler, or better at least, for me to let someone else talk to you about this particular point, father.
Wilson frowned, perplexed by the bishop's almost whimsical smile, but Wagner simply stood, walked to his office door, and opened it.
"Would you ask them to step in now, please, father?"
he said to the underpriest, who had escorted Wilson into the office. Wilson couldn't hear the reply, but he twisted halfway around in his chair so he could watch as the bishop stood to one side of the door, waiting patiently. Then someone stepped through it. Pater Wilson never remembered, then or later, getting out of that chair. Never remembered how he crossed between it and the door. Never remembered what, if anything, he said as he did it. The only thing he ever remembered was the feel of his arms around Lisbeth Wilson, the feel of her arms around him, the sight of his sisters, his brothers, his brother-in-law, his infant nephew. All of them, crowding into Michael Stainer's office while tears poured down their cheeks and his. Bishop Heinrich Wagner watched for a moment, smiling, seeing the tears, the joy, the grief, the love. Listening to the babble of voices, the exclamations of wonder. Then, very gently, he stepped out into the anteroom and closed the door behind him.
He turned to find his secretary looking at him, beaming hugely, and he smiled back.
"Some days, Father," he said quietly, "it's easier than others to remember how good God truly is, isn't it?"